Chapter 9, Shooting Match. Omri put the cowboy and the horse in his shirt drawer while he had the quickest supper on record. Then he raced upstairs again, stopping only to pinch a few grains of Gilon's rat feed for the two horses. Shut up in his room, he took stock. A room this size was like a sort of indoor national park to the cowboy and the Indian. It should be easy enough to keep them apart for one night. Omri thought first of putting the new pair straight back in the cupboard and then bringing them back to life next morning in time for school, but he had promised Patrick not to. So he decided to empty out the dressing-up crate and put the cowboy and his horse in there for the night. The crate was a metre square made of planks. There was certainly no visible way out of it for the cowboy. Omri put him carefully down into it. Looking at him, he felt curious about his name, where he came from, and so on. But he decided it was better not to talk to him. The cowboy had clearly decided that Omri was not really there at all. When his big hands reached down, carrying some cold stew, grain for the pony, some fragments of apple for them both, and, later, some cotton wool and scraps of material for bedding, the cowboy deliberately covered his eyes by pulling down his big hat brim. It was only when Omri reached in one final time to give him a drink of water in a minute green glass bottle that he had found in the bathroom cupboard that the cowboy spoke a word.
"Take that filthy stuff out of here!"
he suddenly shouted in his strong Texas accent.
"I ain't aiming to drink no more of that as long as I'll live!"
And he heaved the bottle, which was almost as big as himself, up by its base and tipped its contents out onto the boards at the bottom of the crate.
"It's only water," Omri ventured to say.
"You shut your mouth," shouted the little man. "I won't take no lip from no gall-darned hallucination, no sir. Maybe I do drink too much. Maybe I can't hold my liquor like some of them real tough guys do. But if I'm getting the delirium tremens and starting in to see things, why couldn't I see pink elephants and dancing rats and all them there pretty things other fellas see when they gets far gone? It ain't fair for me to see giants and blue deserts and get put in boxes the size of the Grand Canyon with no one but my little horse for company."
He sat down on the pile of hay, took the horse's nose in his arms, put his face against it, and began to sob. Omri was shattered. Cowboy crying! He didn't know what to do. When his mother cried, as she did sometimes when things got too much, she only asked to be left alone till she felt better. Maybe all grown-ups were like that. Omri turned away and got slowly into his pyjamas, and then went to see how Little Bull was getting along on the far side of the crate. He'd finished the painting. The teepee looked really good. Little Bull was now in the longhouse, arranging his blanket for the night. The pony was tethered to his post on a long rope. Omri took out the rat food and gave it to him. Then he called Little Bull out. "Are you okay? Anything you need?" He should have known better than to ask.
"Plenty. Want fire in longhouse. Keep warm. Keep wild animals away. Want tomahawk."
So you can chop bits out of my leg."
"Little Bull angry when say that. Sorry now. Use tomahawk, cut down trees. Chop firewood. Kill bird."
"What bird?" Little Bull replied with a very good imitation of a cock crowing. Then he did a mime of catching it, putting its neck on a block, and with a whirl of his arm, chopping off its head with gleeful relish. "I don't know about that."
"You get tomorrow. Birds from plastic. Good tools. But fire now. Chief Little Bull say."
Omri sighed. He went to the waste paper basket and picked out the remains of the other fire that he'd thrown away in there. There was quite a lot of the firelighter left. He gathered up some of the bits of willow bark and twigs from where Little Bull had been working. "You're not having it inside, though. Far too dangerous." He arranged the fire on the packed earth of the seed tray, about 15 centimetres from the entrance to the longhouse, first moving the teepee to safety. Then he struck a match, and soon there was a cosy blaze. Little Bull crouched beside it, his red skin glowing and his eyes bright with pleasure. "Little Bull, can you dance?"
"Yes. War dance. Wedding dance. Many kind."
"Would you do one now, so I can see?" He hesitated, then shook his head once. "Why not, though?"
"No make war. No make wedding. No reason dance.
Maybe if I got your wife.
The Indian looked up eagerly.
You get? Give word?
I only said I'd try.
Then little bull dance. Then do best dance. Love dance.
Omri turned off his light and drew back from the scene. It looked amazingly real, with the fire making shadows, the little horse munching his grain, and the Indian sitting on his heels warming himself, wearing his colourful headdress and the chief's cloak. Omri wished he himself was small enough to join Little Bull by the fire.
Omri! You in bed? I'm coming up in 5 minutes to kiss you good night.
Omri felt panicky, but it was all right. The fire was going out. Already Little Bull was standing up, yawning and stretching. He peered up through the darkness.
Hey, Omri! Painting's good?
Great.
You sleep now?
Yes.
Peace of great spirits be on you.
Oh, thanks. Same to you. Omri peered quickly into the crate. The poor cowboy had crawled away into his makeshift bed and was snoring loudly. He hadn't eaten a thing. Omri sighed. He hoped Patrick was making plans and arrangements. After all, if Omri could keep his Indian secret, Patrick might be able to do the same. All might yet be well. But Omri certainly wasn't going to try the experiment again. It was all just too much worry. He climbed into bed, feeling unusually tired. His mother came in and kissed him, and the door was shut. He felt himself drifting off almost right away, when suddenly a piercing whinny sounded and was answered by another. The horses had smelt each other. They were not so far apart, and the cowboys wasn't tied up. Omri could hear his little hoofs clattering on the bare boards of the crate, and then the whinnies began again, high, shrill, almost questioning. Omri thought of putting on his light, but he was awfully tired. Besides, what could he do? They couldn't possibly reach each other through the planks of the crate wall. Let them whinny their heads off. They'd soon get fed up. Omri rolled over and fell asleep. He was woken just after dawn by shots. He was out of bed in about 1/5 of a second. One glance into the crate showed him all too clearly that the cowboy and his horse had escaped. The second glance showed how. A knot in the wood had been pushed out, or perhaps kicked out by the horse, leaving an oval-shaped hole like an arched doorway, just big enough to let horse and rider through. Omri looked round wildly. At first he could see nothing. He dropped to his knees beside the seed box and peered into the longhouse. Little Bull was not there, nor was his pony. Suddenly some tiny thing whizzed past Omri's ear and struck the crate beside him with a ping. Twisting his head, Omri saw it, a feathered arrow the size of a pin, still quivering from its flight. Was Little Bull shooting at him? Little Bull, where are you? No answer, but suddenly a movement like that of a mouse caught the corner of his eye. It was the cowboy. Dragging his horse behind him, he was running, half bent over, from behind one chair leg to another. He had his revolver in his hand, his hat on his head. Another arrow flew, missing the crate this time and burying itself in the carpet, just ahead of the running cowboy, who stopped dead, jumped backwards till his horse hid him, and then fired another two shots from behind the horse's shoulder. Omri, following his aim, spotted Little Bull at once. He and his pony were behind a small heap of cloth, which was like a snow-covered hill to them, but was actually Omri's vest, dropped carelessly on the floor the night before. Little Bull, safe in the shelter of this cotton mountain, was just preparing to shoot another arrow at the cowboy, one which could hardly fail to hit its mark. The poor fellow was now scrambling desperately onto his pony to try and ride away, and was in full sight of the Indian as he drew back his bowstring. "Little Bull, stop!" Omri's voice rang out frenziedly. Little Bull did not stop, but his surprise spoilt his aim, and the arrow sped over the cowboy, doing no worse than sweep away his big hat and pin it to the skirting board behind the chair. This infuriated the little man, who, forgetting his fear, stood up in his stirrups and shouted, "Tarnation, take you, you red varmint! Wait till I catch you! I'll have your stinking red hide for a sleeping bag!" With that, he rode straight towards the Vest Hill at full gallop, shouting out strange cowboy-like war cries and waving his gun, which, by Omri's count, still had two bullets in it. Little Bull had not expected this, but he was only outfaced for a moment. Then he coolly drew another arrow from his quiver and fitted it to his bow.
"Little Bull, if you shoot, I'll pick you up and squeeze you," Omri cried.
Little Bull kept his arrow pointing towards the oncoming horseman.
"What you do if he shoot?"
he asked. "He won't shoot. Look at him."
Sure enough, the carpet was too soft for much galloping, and even as Omri spoke, the cowboy's horse stumbled and fell, pitching its rider over its head. Little Bull lowered his bow and laughed. Then, to Omri's horror, he laid down the bow among the folds of the vest, reached for his knife, and began to advance on the prostrate cowboy.
"Little Bull, you are not to touch him, do you hear?"
Little Bull stopped.
"He try shoot Little Bull. White enemy. Try take Indians' land. Why not kill? Better dead. I act quick, he not feel, you see."
And he began to move forward again. When he was nearly up to the cowboy, Omri swooped on him. He didn't squeeze him, of course, but he did lift him, high and fast enough to give him a fright.
"Listen to me now. That cowboy isn't after your land. He's got nothing to do with you. He's Patrick's cowboy, like you're my Indian. I'm taking him to school with me today, so you won't be bothered by him any more. Now you take your pony and get back to your longhouse and leave him to me."
Little Bull, sitting cross-legged in the palm of his hand, gave him a sly look.
"You take him school? Place you learn about ancestors?"
"That's what I said."
He folded his arms offendedly.
"Why you not take Little Bull?"
Omri was startled into silence.
"If white fool with coward's face good enough, Indian chief good enough."
"You wouldn't enjoy it."
"If him enjoy, I enjoy."
"I'm not taking you. It's too risky."
"Risky? Firewater?"
"Not whiskey, risky, dangerous."
He shouldn't have said that. Little Bull's eyes lit up.
"Like danger. Here too quiet. No hunting, no enemy. Only him,"
he said scornfully, peering over the edge of Omri's hand at the cowboy, who, despite the softness of his landing place, was only just scrambling to his feet.
"Look, him no use for fight. Little Bull soon kill. Take scalp finish. Very good scalp," he added generously. "Fine colour. Look good on belt."
Omri looked across at the cowboy. He was leaning his ginger head against his saddle. It looked as if he might be crying again. Omri felt very sorry for him.
"You're not going to hurt him," he said to the Indian, "because I won't let you. If he's such a coward, it wouldn't do your honour any good anyway."
Little Bull's face fell, then grew mulish.
"No tell from scalp on belt if belong to coward or brave man," he said slyly. "Let me kill, and I do dance around campfire," he coaxed.
"No," Omri began. Then he changed his tactics.
"All right, you kill him, but then I won't bring you a wife."
The Indian looked at him a long time. Then he slowly put his knife away.
"No touch. Give word. Now you give word. Take Little Bull to school. Take to plastic. Let Little Bull choose own woman."
Omri considered. He could keep Little Bull in his pocket all day. No need to take any chances. If he were tempted to show the other children, well, he must resist temptation, that was all. And after school he could take him to Yap's. The boxes with the plastic figures in them were in a corner behind a stand. Provided there weren't too many other kids in the shop, he might be able to give Little Bull a quick look at the Indian women before he bought one, which would be a very good thing. Otherwise he might pick an old or ugly one without realizing it. It was so hard to see from their tiny plastic faces what they would look like when they came to life.
"Okay, then, I'll take you. But you must do as I tell you and not make any noise."
He put him down on the seed tray and gently shooed the pony up the ramp. Little Bull tied it to its post and Omri gave it some more rat food. Then he crawled on hands and knees over to where the cowboy was now sitting dolefully on the carpet, his horse's rein looped round his arm, looking too miserable to move.
"What's the matter?" Omri asked him.
The little man didn't look up.
"Lost my hat," he mumbled.
"Oh, is that all?" Omri reached over to the skirting board and pulled the pin-like arrow out of the wide brim of the hat. "Here it is," he said kindly, laying it in the cowboy's lap. The cowboy looked at it, looked up at Omri, then stood up and put the hat on.
"You sure ain't no regular hallucination," he said. "I'm obliged to you."
Suddenly he laughed.
"Just imagine thanking a piece of your delirium tremens for giving you your hat back.
I just can't figure out what's going on around here. Say, are you real, or was that engine real? Because in case you ain't noticed, you're a dang sight bigger than he is. You can't both be real.
I don't think you ought to worry about it. What's your name? The cowboy seemed embarrassed and hung his head.
My name's Boone, but the fellas, they all call me Boo-hoo. That's on account of a cry so easy. It's my soft heart. Show me something sad, or scare me just a little, and the tears just come to my eyes. I can't help it.
Omri, who had been somewhat of a crybaby himself until very recently, was not inclined to be scornful about this, and said, "It's okay. Only you needn't be scared of me. And as for the Indian, he's my friend, and he won't hurt you. He's promised. Now, I'd like you and your horse to go back into that big crate. I'll stick the knot back in the wood. You'll feel safer. Then I'll get you some breakfast." Boone brightened visibly at this. "What would you like?"
"Oh, shucks, I ain't that hungry. Couple of bits of steak and 3 or 4 eggs sitting on a small heap of beans and washed down with a jug of coffee'll suit me just dandy."
"You'll be lucky," thought Omri.